Okay, a full hour to go of open lines here on Coast to Coast AM. So we shall be right back. And welcome back to Coast. By the way, first Sunday in February will be Super Bowl Sunday. So I assume you're going to go out and have a great time, or you're going to stay home and have a great time. But after the game, we'll be live. It's our first Sunday night show. So make sure you're a part of the program. Let's go to the phones now. Arthur is in Camden, Tennessee. Welcome to Coast, Arthur, and thank you.
Thank you. It's my pleasure to talk to you. I'm a great fan. You were talking about the doppelgangers on the dogs. What I believe and kind of experience what I've seen lately is I think it's more or less like they're pockets of time that float around and people are susceptible to it. You know, maybe it's done because somehow we fractured space-time.
Yeah.
And people are able to perceive that. And what I've seen lately, especially around this area of the woods, and my mom's place is quite haunted, you know, and it wasn't just me that's seen it, but people have stayed there and people who've lived in the home beforehand have seen it. But they're not malicious or anything like that or bad spirits. Every once in a while you catch the old man who used to live in the house. He'd be walking down the hallway or coming up the stairs. And then my son had one of his friends were over one night, and he said that he saw him walking through the kitchen. But time we've seen him, he's like he's wearing something different.
And but he's not hurting anybody or trying to do anything like that.
No, nothing wrong. But one morning I was sitting there and I was cooking my son breakfast. He played football, so I got up early and was making him breakfast, you know. And the cabinet door opened up like a 90 degrees and slammed. And as soon as it did that, my son, he turned around like that, and all the dishes and the dish drainer started jumping up. But that was kind of unusual. You know, it's one of those old hell moments, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. By the way, did anybody ever tell you sound like Bill Clinton?
Well, yeah, I've kind of got that southern blood to it, I guess.
They say that. I should, let me see if I can interview you. Let me ask you some questions. You pretend you're Bill Clinton, okay? So, Bill, is Hillary going to run in 2016?
Well, I don't know if she's going to really run or not, but I don't think Monica Lewinsky can catch up to it.
I love it. Sound great. Let's go to Mark in Evansville, Indiana. Wild card line. Mark, go ahead.
Hey, George. I just wanted to give you an update on Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. There is a steel company there.
Is there still? What's it called?
Yeah, it's called Lehigh Heavy Forge. They make really large heavy walled components.
Okay. Is it a small company or a big company?
It's a pretty good sized company, and it's been open for a long time. I think since the late 1800s.
Oh, super. Finally, we still have something going on in this country, huh?
Yeah, they were actually talking about building a plant down south, large enough to make commercial nuclear replacement closure head.
Huh. All right. And what's the name of the company? Lehigh?
Yeah, Lehigh Heavy Forge.
Lehigh Heavy Forge. Okay, great. Thanks for that. Just want to make sure we always have American industries plugging along. So important. Let's go now to Frank. He's in Hollywood, California. Hey, Frank.
George. Howdy, George.
Hello there.
I got lucky with the hotline. I mean, got lucky with the call tonight. About 4 or 5 months ago, you and Miss Linda Moltenhau gave me an idea, an outline for a mini-series. I got the outline in 2 minutes of what you were talking about.
Perfect.
Now, I want to send this by you.
All right.
A UFO crash lands into a small African country where you have an Idi Amin-type dictator in the south and a Joseph Kony-type rebel in the north.
All right.
And you don't want either one of these bad actors to win. So the UFO crashes, and they have three extraterrestrials on board. One dies on impact, and the rebels take that body, and the one that's alive, the Idi Amin type dictator, he takes that body. Naturally, the Russians and the United States get involved in it. And the dictator, he doesn't have the money. He wants to make the site an amusement park that where he can, you know, have people come there and from all over the world and make money and whatnot.
Yeah.
But the Russians in the United States have other ideas. And the extraterrestrials, there's an unseen force
You're going to give away. You're going to give it away.
What do you think of that idea so far?
Not bad, but you got to be careful. Someone's going to listen and steal it.
Well, I've got some of my ideas at my lawyer's office. I don't know where I'm going with it. I can't go to Africa right now and do some research, but I just got it on the shelf. I got a lot of better ideas than that, but I've been with you 3 years. You won't believe this, but I haven't missed a program.
Good for you.
I've turned off one program, only one. That's when you had the vampires on. I don't like vampires.
You're not into vampires. Well, I can understand.
And when you get that foundation started, I want to contribute to it in a small way every month or so.
Well, you don't have to do that, but I appreciate that. And by the way, we are getting I'm glad you brought that up, by the way, Frank. Thank you so much. This is tied into our television show, Beyond Belief. This is something I'm doing personally. I'm going to set up a little not-for-profit company for this. And it's like a coast give back. It's tied into how many subscriptions people who are watching the Beyond Belief television program. I looked at the numbers today, as a matter of fact. We are 3,500 subscriptions short from being able to do what I want to do. So think about that. It's for a good cause. But basically what we're going to do, and Tom's going to be responsible for this, but those needy coast-to-coast listeners who write in and have some financial problems, not huge because it'll drain the fund, but little stuff. You know, a power bill here and there and something like that. We're gonna set up this fund to do that. Now I'm 3,500 subscriptions away from that. So beyondbelief.com. Think about that. I think it's a good cause and I think it's gonna work out. And I'm gonna set up the 503 through LegalZoom. I was looking at what they do and they're very fast, they're very affordable, but it's the Coast Give Back program and we're probably, I don't know, about 6 months ahead of schedule, getting to that goal of what I want. So think about that. But in terms of, Frank, your own personal contribution, now, you know, help somebody you know. To me, it'll be well worthwhile doing it like that. Let's go to Cheryl in Garden Grove, California, west of the Rockies. Hello, Cheryl.
How are you?
I am fine. How are you?
I'm doing great, and thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure.
I've called a couple of times, once over the Veterans Day, and I come from a long family of Navy.
Oh,
my
super.
Dad was a Navy doctor, my brother, underwater demolition. But what I wanted to talk to you about was the doppelganger thing.
Okay.
Because I used to work at a restaurant in Corona Del Mar, California, and one day a gentleman came in with a young woman. And I said, oh, my goodness, John Stringer. And he looked at me, said, oh, no, my name's not John Stringer. I said, aren't you an attorney? He said, no, I'm not an attorney. And I said, oh, my gosh, you look just like a great friend of mine that I grew up with. And I said, are you kidding me? And he said, oh, no, I'm not kidding you. So I said, well, do you mind coming back next week? I'll bring you in a picture of my friend, and I'll bring my mother in as well. He said, no, not at all. I don't mind at all. So the next week he came in. I brought in my mother. I brought in the picture of him and myself that I thought it was myself, you know. I was only 16 at the time, and this gentleman was 25. And I brought in the photo, and I showed him. He almost fell right off of the stool with his girlfriend. He said, I can't believe it. He looks just like me. I said, I'm not kidding you. I wasn't kidding you.
Right.
And he said, oh, thank you so much. He said, and where is this gentleman? I said, oh, he lives in Hawaii. He's an attorney, you know. And he said, I can't believe it. He was like shocked. And so was I. And so was my mother and the girlfriend as well.
I saw a picture once of somebody who looked like me, a little mustache, and it is strange. It's uncanny. Yeah, I guess there's only, you know, besides the doppelganger, there's probably only so many possibilities that you can do on a face. And so you're bound to have people who look like each other.
This is true. This is true. But similar personality is very quiet.
Yeah, that's true.
Demeanor was very professional, the same. Almost like they could have been twins, but I also knew his brother.
That's a cool story.
Yeah, it's a great story.
The guy was in shock.
He was in shock. So was my mother.
I love it. Thanks, Cheryl. Let's move on to Adam in Carmichael, California as well. First time caller. Hello, Adam.
Hey, what's up, George?
Hey, good to have you with us.
So I've got a doppelganger story of my own.
Okay, what's up?
All right, so when I was 13, I was laying in bed, and the Holy Spirit came to me,
okay,
and he asked me if I would do something for him, help somebody. And I was like, sure. It's not like I'm going to die or anything. And he said, yeah, you're going to die if you do this. Like, wow. Oh, well, I'll do it anyways. I'm not going to die. So I went down into a different world, and this guy was living as me, looked exactly like me. But he looked older. And so I would be in my brother's body, sometimes my dad's body, sometimes friends' bodies.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of it, he had a really sweet talk with me, like, you know, saying, hey, you don't have to give in to anything. You can choose your future. It doesn't have to line up like that. And I said to him, like, nobody like you is ever going to go to hell. And he said, no, I'm going to hell.
He really thought he was, huh?
What?
He really thought he was going to hell.
Yeah. And I just had that exact same conversation with myself the other night from the other guy's perspective. And, yeah. So I grew up into the person that contacted me in my dream.
So have you resigned yourself to the fact you think you're going to hell too?
Yeah. There's no such thing as hell.
No, there isn't.
It's really bad uncomfort for a while.
I agree with you there. I don't think there's a hell. I think there's different levels, no question about that, but I don't think there's fire and brimstone. I could be wrong. Let's go to Brian, Panama City, Florida, wildcard line. Brian, take it away.
Hey, how's it going, man?
I'm good, Brian. Thank you.
Hey, just want to tell you, you know, I'm a first-time listener, long-time caller. But I'm actually on duty tonight, and I'm an officer.
In Panama City?
Preacher.
Wow, you got to call back with a better phone, officer. Please. Mark in Morton, Illinois on the wild card line. Hey, Mark, go ahead. Maybe he was arresting somebody or something.
Hey,
Mark.
How are you doing?
Good.
Oh, geez, I'm nervous.
What's going on?
Well, I've listened for ever since Art, but never called in. I had some situations happen in life that, you know, from five years old and 10 and 18, and that were, it's not doppelganger stuff. This is more of abduction stuff. And just a little background with me. I was a retired symphony musician and have a couple of degrees, and, you know, I mean, I'm very logical.
What did you play, by the way? I think that's a gift.
French horn.
Okay.
Yeah, I played in Europe and here in the States. And this stuff just keeps coming back, and just, you know, it just does me in.
Give me an example. What's happening?
Well, sometimes, you know, I don't know a lot about other people's experiences. I've tried to, like, not listen to a lot of other people's experiences on this, so I don't, you know, it's just too close. It's too close to home for me. But one of the things is, you know, smells are a big deal. It's a big thing with me.
Smells?
Smells. the one thing that I remember from the first experience way back was a smell, and it smelled like burning rubber. And I can picture these beings. I can just like they're right there now. And they were white. They had two little holes for a nose and not so big eyes, not the big eye thing, but they were pure white. And the room was light. And all I could remember was they moved extremely fast, and there was a smell of burning rubber. Well, ever since that first experience way back, and you know, you don't remember, I'm 51, you don't remember a lot of that kind of stuff from way back at that age, but that's the one thing, that smell, I'll never forget it.
Where was that burning rubber smell coming from?
I don't really know. I honestly don't know. It just was, just like these people seem to be, to me, as though they were like rubbery, or like it was like maybe not rubber but latex or something.
So what you're telling me, though, you've been abducted when you were a kid.
Yeah.
Is it ongoing, do you think?
It happened at 10 years old, the same exact thing, same smell, same everything.
Huh. And have you had that smell lately?
No, not lately.
Maybe that's a good thing. And were they kind to you, or was it kind of a scary thing?
You know, I don't remember any sense of a fear or flight, you know, or anything like that. But, you know, I didn't feel in danger. You know, there were some things that happened physically that.
But you were probably violated, though, don't you think?
I was, and there's proof. I've got medical proof of it. You know, I had some anomalies that weren't there prior to that.
When you tell people this story, Mark, what do they say? They believe you?
I've never told anybody else.
Nobody? Wow. Uh-huh.
Because, not that I think it's nutty, it's just that, you know, when you've been through this, you know, you don't want to just go out and share this with everybody.
No, but you'd be surprised how many people have had similar experiences as you.
Mm.
I mean, it's out there.
I know the last one I remember like it was yesterday. It was when I was 18. My father was with the government in a certain way, and we lived in Egypt when I was in high school. And when I was in Egypt, just kind of way back then in the late 79 and 1980, you could get around the, you know, like the Giza Plateau.
Oh, yeah.
Saqqara pyramids. And
my late father was born in Egypt and came over here when he was 6 years old, and quite an experience. Never wanted to go back there. Never wanted to go back there. Hey, we're coming up to the bottom of the hour break here, but we're going to come back with more. Tom's got a text message for you. I'll tell you what's in store next week as well. Another series of great programs for you. And feel free to email me anytime you want, george@coasttocoastam.com. Don't get uptight if I don't answer you back right away, but I will look at it to be sure. And I try to answer as many as I can. george@coasttocoastam.com. Yes, we use cutting-edge technology here on Coast to Coast. Text messages, Skype, you name it, we've got it, and then good old phone calls. And we'll take them when we come right back. Okay, welcome back to Open Lines. I'm George Norrie. Let's go east. Roland has been waiting a long time in London, Kentucky. Hey, Roland, thanks for holding on there.
George Norrie, I'm Roland Morty.
Well, thank you, sir.
How about that?
Yes, I like that.
I want to ask you a question, since you're from L.A., before I get into my non-experience story, okay?
You got it.
I'm a World War II veteran. I was stationed in Pomona, California. I was stationed in California for about a year. I'm from San Bernardino to Pomona, and I know where Five Points, El Monte, all those little towns are. You know what I'm talking about?
Uh-huh.
Okay, I want to ask you this. I've been as far down as San Diego, up and down the coast. Ocean City, that was a beautiful place. And I want to ask you Earl Carroll Theater, is it still there?
Oh, gosh. What was the name of the theater?
Earl Carroll. So through these portals pass the most beautiful girls in the world.
I do not know if that theater is still there, Roland. I don't know.
Okay, and Hollywood Palladium, is it still there?
Yeah, the Palladium's still there.
Good. I used to go to the Hollywood Canteen, see, and dance with the movie stars. They used to come over there and entertain us.
Who was your favorite movie star that you met?
Ann Sheridan. Do you know Ann Sheridan?
I think I heard of her name. My dad used to talk about her.
Yeah, she was from Texas.
Now, you're a World War II veteran. That's got to put you in your high 80s, right?
I'm 92 years old, and I'm still learning.
Good for you.
Because I listen to Coast to Coast.
Good for you. 92. That's amazing.
Yeah. And I'm in good health. I have macular degeneration of the eyes. My eyesight has diminished some, but I still see, you know, pretty well.
Do you drive?
Yeah, I drive. My right eye is still okay. And I take shots right in the eyeball.
They
right in my eyeball.
They put a shot in your eye?
Yeah, they stick a needle right in my eye.
Come on, don't tell me that.
Yeah, you have to have a retina specialist. You know, I go to the VA at Lexington, Kentucky.
Does it hurt when they do that?
That's about 65 miles from me, see?
Roland, when they stick a shot in your eye, does it hurt?
Well, of course it does, but they numb it before, you know what I mean?
They put some drops in there, right? Numbing drops?
Yeah, they put drops in it, but you still feel that needle plunge in.
Oh, does it make a funny sound when they stick a needle in your eye, like a, you know?
Yeah, it does. Yeah, you feel it and hear it, too. And when they shoot the medicine in, why, you see, that's like a puddle, you know, on a water. When you throw a rock on it or something, you know? And all the medicine has gone in.
Oh, my gosh.
They give that to you about every 6 weeks, George.
That's pretty intense, but you have to do what you have to do.
Yeah, you have to do what you have to do. They say it won't cure it, but it'll kind of retain my sight, see?
Well, thanks for serving, by the way. My dad was in World War II. God love
him.
Is that
right?
Yeah.
Well,
Battle of the Bulge. He did that.
I was in the Bells of Bulge.
There.
I went into Germany, and because I had been in battle a year, I was in about 6 months. They was going to send me over to Japan. So I was one night out to sea, and they dropped the atomic bomb, and they anchored the ship overnight. And the next morning, here's the announcement that came. Said, attention all personnel. The ship orders have been changed. We are now proceeding to Hampton Roads, Virginia.
I bet you loved it. Hey, let me ask you a question, Roland. I mean, you've been on this planet a long time.
Thank you.
Of everything that you have witnessed or things that have happened, what would you say is the event you will never forget? For the rest of you, was it the Kennedy assassination? Was it 9/11? Was it the end of the war? What was that one thing?
Well, I tell you what, the Kennedy assassination. And look, I love the Kennedy family, and the Kennedy assassination, I think, was one of the. I was in Knoxville, Tennessee that day, and I heard that, and I tell you what, I think I was the most bewildered of any time in my life that I've ever seen.
Devastated. You would have been 42 years old.
I was really devastated because I loved him, and I thought, look, and I'm not a Catholic either, and I loved the Kennedy family. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
A lot of people think, well, he's a Catholic, that's why I loved him, but I'm not a Catholic. In fact, I'm Church of Christ, But I love the Kennedy family, and I was born and reared up with Catholic people in little towns called East Bernstadt and Bernstadt. They took that after Switzerland, see? Bern, Switzerland, and then Stadt means town, Bernstown, see? Bernstadt and East Bernstadt. Those are the little towns right there. There's 5 miles away, you know what I mean, from London. I was born and reared up in those towns.
Well, you've seen it all. You know, you were on hold with me for an hour. You were waiting an hour to get on.
I know it, but it's worth it, George, to get to talk to you, and I appreciate this so much. And I want to tell you this. I'm a Christian. I'm in the Church of Christ, and I like all people that are Christians. You know what I mean?
I understand.
And I'm not one of those guys that thinks that I have it all and nobody else is right. You know what I mean? That is not even a good attitude.
I understand. Yeah.
Because I was born, I went to school with them and was born and reared up with the Swiss people and where the little towns where I was talking about, and most of them are Catholic, see. And we played basketball together. In fact, I played on the team that won the district tournament, the only time that my school won it, East Bernstadt, Kentucky.
Were you a pretty good basketball player?
Well, let's say I was fair. I don't want to brag on myself. Yeah, I was on the first five, and I was a guard, and I could shoot the ball. You know what I mean.
So, did you end up with? Did you get married? Did you have a family? What happened?
Oh yeah, I found $1 million baby in the 5 and 10. Ruby, she died 3.5 years ago. Wow. We was 68.5 years together, George.
That's a long time, Roland.
Yeah. Yeah, she was a sweetie, and we had a good life together, and you know, and we visited every state that I was in. I was stationed from New York to California, and we were going to go to California, but we never did make it to California. We went to Texas, Arkansas, New York, everywhere.
How'd you end up in Kentucky?
I was born and reared here.
Ah, it's your hometown.
But I've been in 42 states. And you know the bridge you was talking about, George Washington Bridge?
Yeah.
I was stationed over in New Jersey, and I used to go into New York every night.
Well, Roland,
this old country boy has been around.
You sure have it. I want you to check in with me every once in a while. I could talk to you for hours. Maybe I'll do a whole show with you, Roland, one day. You never know. Hey, Tom's got a text for us. Isn't that great?
That may be one of the best calls you've ever taken.
92 years old.
They got to figure out something
He's
else
still
than
on hold, listening.
A needle in an eye. They got to figure out something
Ouch.
Else. Ouch. Oh, my God.
Can you imagine that?
No, I can't.
They do have numbing drops. You know, when I got LASIK eye surgery, Tom, back when it was first starting to come out. And it was in St. Louis for an eye doctor, Dr. Greg Berdy, B-E-R-D-Y, great doctor. And he wanted me to endorse his eye practice. Well, as you know, well know, when my voice is on a product that we advertise,
that you have to try it.
I try it. I use it. And if I don't like it, well, I tell the salespeople and that client goes away. And so Greg Berdy said, look, I want you to endorse my LASIK eye surgery. And, you know, at that time I was wearing contacts. And he said, I will give you an operation. It's part of the package, and then you'll be able to talk about me. And I'm saying, Greg, this better work. And so I had the eye surgery, and in, I don't know what they do today, but back then, 97, 98, 99, somewhere okay. around there, they slice the top of your eye. You know, the little flap over your eye, they slice it, they pull it back, they hit you with the laser. And unlike now where they have a laser track, it follows your eye movement.
Right.
You can't move your eye. They tell you, do not move your eye. Now they've blackened your eye. It goes black. You can't see. They put drops in there. You literally go blind for a moment. And so he did the surgery. Put the flap back, And off I went. I went home. I was able to drive myself.
Right? Was it worth it?
And they give you bubble glasses. To this day, I'm 20/20 distance. I wear reading glasses because I'm, you know, 99 years old. I'm a little older than Roland.
But that's a laser. This guy's getting a needle.
But here's the scary part. I woke up 2 days later in the morning. And my left eye
wasn't clear.
Was so blurry. It was as if somebody took a handful of Vaseline and stuck it in my eye. And I am panicking. I had thought, and maybe rightfully so, the little flap from my eye, it fell off. And I couldn't find it. I'm looking around with one eye open on my pillow, panicking that I'm now gone blind in this left eye. And so I called the doctor, and they said, well, can you get here? Can you drive here? We need to see you now. And I said, I'll get there. So with one eye open, I drove about 20 minutes to the eye doctor, and Dr. Birdie wasn't there. So his other eye doctor, they're ophthalmologists, they're really doctors, she came and looked at me, and she said, well, I got good news for you. The flap is still there. And I said, you're kidding. She just said, you must have slept funny. Your eye dried out, so we're going to hydrate you. And sure enough, about 2 hours later, everything went back to 20/20. Anyway, you have a text message.
I do. You make contacts, by the way, sound great.
Sometimes.
From Gerald in Rhode Island. Hey, George, I happen to be a person who believes in reincarnation, but why is it that every time I hear or read about someone who has been reincarnated, they never remember who they were before?
Well, they don't remember who they were until they're put under. And then, you know, once they're put under by hypnosis, they recall a lot of things. And you know what? They're not always famous people either.
You're Dexter, right?
Dexter Monterey.
Yeah. Wouldn't you think they could remember, though, just by remembering?
You would think.
I would think.
Yeah, maybe there's a mechanism in your body that chases it out.
We should ask Goldberg.
Let's go next to Claudia in Detroit, Michigan. Hi, Claudia. You're in my old hometown.
As usual, I dialed once and got through. I guess people would hate me because every time I call you, I only have to dial once.
Are you the Claudia that used to call us?
Yes, I am.
Ah, how are you?
Not good. I talked to Tommy. I'm sending an email because I didn't want to bore your audience with my personal problems. I just had kind of a cute story that I thought people might like to hear. I live in a house with a lot of spirits, and last summer we had a spirit cat that living in the basement. We called him Spooky. We didn't see him, but we could hear him and feel him to pet him. Well, last summer I was feeling pretty good one day, and we went to a garage sale, and I'm there looking at things, and the man next to me started just freaking out. And he grabbed my arm and pointed down. He said, lady, that cat just came out from under your skirt. I had on a long skirt. And I said, what cat? I still couldn't see him, but apparently this guy had ESP and didn't know it. He could see Spooky. Spooky snuck in the car with us and was under my skirt. So the whole garage, everyone there, Spooky ran around the side of the garage. Well, on the side of the garage was a 6-foot privacy fence, and he had disappeared, and he didn't come home with us. He was never in our basement.
Never came home again?
No.
Oh, man. Well, Claudia, you take care of yourself. I look forward to reading your email that you sent to Tom. I know you had some health issues some time ago, but it's good to know you're still out there kicking. And that's so important. Well, this wraps up another night of Open Lines here on Coast to Coast AM. But, hey, it's tradition on Friday to wrap it up this way.
Well, I never knew I had Martians in my garden. And I never knew there were aliens on my roof. I got shadow people, and they're living in my basement. Got a funny feeling Bigfoot's gonna be here soon. I was so blind before, I was so unaware. But now I swear I'm seeing Sasquatch over there. And I turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. Now I can see the light, and I also see a ghost. Well, you never knew that your baby was a hybrid, but as he grew, you began to see the clues. Now you know the signs, 'cause you learned it from George Norrie. Even while you sleep, you got Martians watching you. I turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. And I can see the light, and I also see a ghost, 'cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast. Good morning or good evening, wherever you may be, whichever world you're living in, whatever century. Your voice is always welcome here on my radio. Call in with your space transmitter or your telephone. I need to know. Now I can see the light, and I also see a ghost, 'cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast. 'Cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast.
For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDesour, Stephanie Smith, Chris Boros, George Knapp, who'll be on Sunday, John B. Wells, who'll be on Saturday, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.